Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we'll continue to rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is kind. God is so awesome, and we are thankful to God for how God continues to bless us and keep us. I hope you had a wonderful weekend of worship. I know we did at First Baptist Guilford. Amen. And I want to thank you all for continuing on the journey as we fast and pray together. Today is day 23. Day 23. Just 17 more days to go. And I know, beloved, that right now you're in the middle of it. It's getting tough. It's getting hard. But God is going to give you the strength to make it through to day 40. To day 40. Amen. All right, there is a word from the Lord, and that word is coming to us from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to lift up two verses, verses 3 and 4. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And I'm reading this from the New King James Version of the Bible. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. In your own personal private time with God, read the entire 10th chapter. Here begins the reading of God's Word. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about the fight beyond the flesh. The fight beyond the flesh. As believers, we're called to fight against anything that would come up or become a stronghold. Anything that comes up in our lives that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We're called to fight as believers, and that fight is a part of what is called spiritual warfare. But beloved, it's important to realize that the tactics of spiritual warfare are far different than the tactics of earthly warfare. Paul realized that the battle he was fighting was spiritual in nature. And although the people of Corinth were leading the attack against the Apostle Paul, he had to look beyond the people and see really where the problem was. The people began to immediately see Paul based upon his physical prowess. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that when they looked at him, he had a lowly presence. You know, he was just a meek and humble man who was lowly in presence. You know, he was one who was timid, you know, lowly, timid. And verse 10 tells us of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that, you know, that he had all this to say in his letters. His letters were weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. And his speech is contemptible. In other words, they're saying his letters were weighty and forceful, but in person he was unimpressive, and his speech amounts to really nothing against us. This was because they were evaluating Paul and his ministry in accordance to the flesh. And so as they're attacking Paul and the people are attacking him, Paul recognized, and he had to really see, that it's not the people that's the problem. The problem is that I'm in the midst of spiritual warfare. So So when you recognize this, you have to take the fight beyond the flesh. You have to understand that you're not fighting from a physical standpoint, but you're fighting beyond the flesh, that this is more spiritual than it is spirit, physical. So the relevant question this morning is, how do we fight beyond the flesh? And what does it mean to fight beyond the flesh? Y'all know what I'm about to say. I got three things to share really quickly that I think will be a blessing to those who need to take the fight beyond the flesh. Number one, it is important, it is crucial, it is critical that we as believers make an evaluation. That we make an evaluation. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, what we walk in, we do not war with. What we walk in, we do not war with. The flesh is just a tool. So when Billy Bob or Sally Jean comes up to you and they start talking all this talk and mess and they begin to denigrate you and castigate you and speak against you, or a situation rises up where a group of people come against you, remember, beloved, that what we walk in, we do not war with. You have to make an evaluation that the flesh is just a tool. And it's what you decide to do in the flesh that will determine if you're being used or if you're using the tool for good. Paul understood this, beloved, that the very church that he helped to found was now flipping its head. It's turning against him. It's challenging his ministry. And he used this point of evaluation as a place to see that the flesh was being used as a tool, not for good, but the flesh was being used as a tool to come against him. And so he had to evaluate that what I walk in, I do not war with. Paul understood that the fight was with the power that was beyond the flesh. Beloved, I believe that's what some of us need to do. We need to understand that the fight is with the power that is beyond the flesh. That while it's Sally Jean and Billy Bob that's in front of you, that they're doing, what they're doing is not being nothing more than used as tools in the flesh to come against you. So you don't fight them. You fight the power that's beyond them. So then once you make an evaluation, second thing I want you to see, beloved, is that you got to take the fight beyond the flesh, because we cannot engage in manipulation. God does not want us to engage in manipulation. Look at the A clause of verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is important. Listen, what we walk in, we don't war with, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning we do not engage in fleshly activities trying to help somebody. We do not engage in fleshly activities, wanting to retaliate, wanting to fight back, even wanting to engage in some form of manipulation. Because those things are carnal. Watch this. Paul uses meekness. Look at verses 1 and 2. Meekness and gentleness to trump manipulation and deceit. Verse 1 says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, Paul understood that it's not by deceit, not by manipulation, but it's by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Watch it. These are the fruit of the Spirit that God is going to allow us to be able to engage in spiritual warfare. In other words, beloved, we must appeal to the strength of God and not our own strength. We must appeal to the strength of God that comes through meekness and gentleness, not manipulation and deceit. Romans 1 and 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Your weapon is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your weapon is the fruit of the Spirit. Your weapon is in all meekness and gentleness of the Lord, tapping into the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you fight beyond the flesh. Got one more thing to show you. Look at the B clause of verse 4. Not only is it important to make an evaluation, not only is it important to not engage in manipulation, that's carnal, but then, beloved, nothing can stand against God's revelation of truth. God's revelation of truth. Look at the B clause of verse 4, and then we're going to pray. It's right here. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Beloved, our strength in our spiritual warfare lies not in fleshly weapons, but our strength in spiritual warfare lies in the fact that we have a God who is mighty and can pull down any stronghold. What does that mean? Verse 5 helps us with this. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What Paul is showing us is the more that there is revelation of God, the more that there is a revealing of the strength and truth of who God is, then you can cast down any argument. You can bring down anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can bring every thought. That's why we do not use manipulation, because manipulation requires carnal thoughts. But every thought that exalts itself against the Lord, bring it into captivity and obedience to Christ. Why? Because you're tapping into the strength that comes from God, and he can bring down those strongholds. So you don't fight them in the flesh. You don't take off your earrings and break out the Vaseline. No, you don't do no furniture moving when they come against you. No, you begin to tap into the strength that comes with being with Jesus Christ, and those strongholds will fall. I'll leave you with this. Beloved, the Bible tells us that when the walls of Jericho seemed impregnable, and nobody could be able to conquer the city, the Lord told them to march around the walls. And they marched around the walls every day for 6 days, one time around this large city. In fact, marching around the walls one time took all day. And after they marched around six times for 6 days, one time around the wall, they only carried God with them The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence. The priests were there with their trumpets, but then the seventh day, hallelujah, they marched around the wall seven times. That took a while. Seven times around the whole city. And then after the seventh time, the Lord says, now that I've given you the victory, and now that I've broken this stronghold through spiritual warfare, go on and open your mouth and shout. And the walls came tumbling down. That's how God pulls down strongholds. It's not through the physical prowess of mankind, but it's through the spiritual engagement of the servant of God that God is able to do the miraculous and bring down strongholds. Don't fight with the flesh, but fight beyond the flesh. Let's pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come this morning grateful and thankful for the fact that, Lord Jesus, it's through gentleness and meekness, not manipulation and deceit. It's by way of understanding, Lord God, that our physical prowess has nothing to do, Lord Jesus, with our spiritual power. So, Lord, help us to make an evaluation that what we walk in, we do not war with. Help us to not use manipulation, Lord God, that the carnal can never trump, Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus. That, Lord God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gentleness and meekness of heart is what's going to help us in fighting spiritual warfare. And Lord God, what can stand against the revelation of who you really are? Who can stand against you, O God? Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the weapons of spiritual warfare. And help us to realize that it's not the people in front of us that we have to worry about. But Lord God, it's tapping into the power that is beyond the flesh and coming against those things that are evil forces, that's where our fight lies. Give us the strength to fight boldly for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, woo, you know now the fight is not with the flesh, but the fight is beyond the flesh. Tap into spiritual warfare and use the power that God has given you, and great things will take place. All right, y'all, day 23. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.